We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
See, if we would just pay teachers more, Lee, they would totally stick around. But they're leaving. It's just the money. There's nothing else going on there, right?
You think?
I love this. You sent this to me over the weekend. I read every word of it twice. It was awesome. It's a Facebook post that's going viral from former kindergarten teacher Jessica Gentry. And she laid out why she's leaving. And she starts her post by saying she understands why it's easier for people to assume she left her profession over pay versus social mores. She writes, the filter comes off now. I think it's easier for people to believe I left teaching because of the lousy pay. It was easier for my former HR director to believe it was because I found something that was more I was more passionate about. Some would allow them to assume that. Let them be comfortable in their assumptions because your truth may lead to the discomfort of others. Well, she said, that ain't me. That's not why she left. She said, let me tell you why those who ooze passion for teaching are leaving the occupation like their hair is on fire. She says some have pointed out the adage, the kids have changed. She says that's not true. She says, no, kids are kids. Parenting has changed. Society has changed. The kids are just the innocent victims of that, she writes. Parents are working crazy hours, consumed by their devices, leaving kids in unstable parenting and co-parenting situations, terrible media influences. And we're going to give the excuse that the kids have changed, she writes. What do we expect them to do? And this part was like a bombshell in my mind, thinking about my own kids. I'd never thought about this. And other kids I've just known. Kids behave in undesirable ways in the environment they feel safest. They test the water in the environment they know their mistakes and behaviors will be treated with kindness and compassion. For those well-behaved kids, they're throwing normal kid tantrums at home because it's safe. The kids flipping tables at school, they don't have a safe place at home. Our classrooms are the first place they've ever heard no, been given boundaries, shown love through respect. Cue the kids have changed. She said, she talks about these kids are growing up, in co-parenting situations. They're not loved. They're not given the attention. Parents themselves are on the cell phone, paying more attention to it than kids. And she's criticizing using like technology. She said kids already can't read social cues and conduct themselves appropriately in social settings. So let's toss more devices at them because it looks good on our website. She goes on to say. She said just this year, well, she was talking about how basically she left. She had like over 60 paid days of vacation left and she just blew it all and went out the door. Because she says seeing this, she said my mental and physical health was in jeopardy every single day. Knowing that your kids need and deserve more than they're getting, sitting in one meeting after another, begging for more support, only to be told don't lose sleep over them. When you love your kids and you're passionate about your mission, these messages tear you apart, she writes. Watching them come in, dirty clothes, chaos at home, and knowing they need more than you can give them in a classroom of 21 with less and less support, multiple languages spoken, several different disabilities, it breaks you, she writes. And she says, we become emotional eaters. We become couch potatoes to zone out. We become so short-fused that our families suffer. And she says that's why she left.
Yeah, If you know any teachers or talk to any teachers, I don't care whether they're liberal or conservative, this is beyond politics.
Yes.
This is a cultural problem. And this is something that I have been talking about for a long time. The problem is not so much the children as it is the parents or the lack of parenting, that the parents are not prepared. This is not every parent, because obviously we're not talking about every child.
Yeah.
And this goes beyond economic situations, too, because there are plenty of wealthy parents who don't pay the attention to their children that they should, as well as poor parents. And this is a cultural thing. And I guess my kids probably grew up, and yes, we're probably guilty of this, too, allowing the TV to be a babysitter. And now the smartphone has become the babysitter. And there's no interaction with adults. There's no, nor not as much interaction as there should be, and there's not as much socialization with peers as there should be, and there's just so many problems that we're creating for our own culture and our own society because of the lack of parenting that goes on in many households.
Yeah, and, you know, I've talked about this. I've seen this. You know, I was talking to the kids in my daughter's fifth grade class, and what an eye-opener that was for me, because these are all kids who get good grades. More than half the class is in the gifted and talented program. Only 5% of Greenville County Schools kids make it into that. So this is an incredibly affluent school. Every one of the parents, every one of those kids has two parents in the household. Almost all are married. These are not typical kids at all. And yet, the shocking level to which they are sexualized, the things that they acted out almost as if they had been groomed. I mean, the stuff my daughter would come home and send, tell me stood my hair on end. And when I start talking about people in text line are like, oh, absent parents, boy, multiple boyfriend. No, that's not these kids. Yeah. No, these kids have everything. They have their own cell phones by the fifth grade. They have whatever clothes they want, and they are incredibly sexualized. They have conversations like we used to do in college and in high school and college. I mean, it's like fifth grade. I mean, it's just unbelievable what's out there now. And those are, again, the most affluent kids.
Yeah.
So it's everywhere, and it's a problem. I just think it's interestingly that she's like, nah, the money isn't why I left.
Yeah, exactly.
No, it's not that.
Well, I mean, that's the only response, though, that that really you can have as an employer other than because the educators, the legislators can't legislate good parenting.
No, they can't.
You cannot do that. It is not possible for the school district to enforce it. It is not possible for legislators to do it. It is something that culturally that we as citizens and parents and taxpayers have to encourage. It is a long, arduous process, and I don't know if this country has the stomach to do it. I doubt that it does, because we have done everything we can culturally to kick morals and values and religion out of society, out of schools, and that's where the answer is. When you accept responsibility for the behavior of that child, for their ability to learn, for their preparedness to go to school without being hungry or not well fed or not paid any attention to or having some idea about how to conduct themselves in a classroom setting. And that there are times when you should pay attention to authority. There are many times when you should reject authority and challenge it. I get that. But not necessarily every day, in every circumstance, in every schoolroom.
I thought that part, too, about children will act out in the environment where they
feel. That was
feel,
a brilliant point.
It was brilliant. And I went, wow, okay, this is why, you know, at least with two of my kids, we go to the teacher meeting and the teacher's like, oh, your child is wonderful and so well behaved. I'm like, my child?
Yeah.
You sure we're talking about the same one, right? Because why? Because that's true. I mean, they have the tantrums and the stuff at home, but they're really well behaved at school, and that just drove it home for me.
Yeah.
Because, you know, home is the environment in which they are loved, and they know they are loved because they have a lot of boundaries there, and that's why they test the boundaries, not at school.
Right.
And I went, wow, okay, that nails it for me.
Yeah.
And they'll say, oh, your children are so polite. I'm like, they are?
Well, and I'll be honest with you. I sent this to my wife when I found it, and I sent it to you because it made me think about you, and I know how passionate you are for your kids and what good parents your kids have, obviously. And I thought that you might find some validation in what she was saying there.
Yeah, no, I loved it. It was a light bulb going off for me, and that, like, it made me feel good. Like, I kind of, you know, you feel like as a parent, if they're pushing the boundaries at home, and my kids really don't anymore, but they did when they were younger.
Well, and honestly, they should.
Yeah, and they ran into the scary human wall of Rambo Loco.
Yes. I mean, well, that's a good thing, too.
Yeah, so, I mean, they're good kids, but that maybe that's why they didn't act out at school, and that made me feel good. Like, but they, you know, even though that they had it at home, that's actually normal, and that this kindergarten teacher who's looks like she's in her 20s understands that. I thought, wow, she really understood her kids.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a shame she's gone. I hate that. I really do.
Well, sometimes it takes losing good people to make change.
Yeah.
And if you have an industry, and yes, education is an industry. I do believe that it is a calling for the really good ones, it is an industry. It is an employer, and if the employer continues to lose good people that are allowing them to get to the goals that they have set before them, then they'll have to do something to change that. But sadly, you know, money alone is not going to be the answer. It is not. It is. You can spend as much money as you want to on the school building, school facilities, school programs, school consultants. You can spend as much money as you want to on, you know, the teachers, the assistants, the administrators. But if we do not have parents who accept responsibility for parenting, it's all going to be, you know, money just wasted.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's jump on the line real quick, Lee. I couldn't agree with you more. With Bob in Greenville. Hey, Bob.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Yeah, real quick, my wife is a teacher in one of the schools in Greenville. There's two things at least I could touch on. You remember a couple of years ago they changed the failing score to 63? You know, what do you tell a student when basically no matter how badly you do, you can't fail? And then you lay that at the feet of the teacher? Tell me that's not disheartening.
Failing is actually 59. You have to get a 59 is failing now in the Greenville County school system. 70 is
well,
a C.
I mean, you got to work at it. I mean, you have to work at failing. These kids, I mean, some of them know they can't fail. The other one is my wife was working with another teacher, and the kids were caught cheating on the test using their smartphones.
Mm-hmm.
When he went to admin, he was told, you need to make it, you know, pick subject matters that were more interesting to the kids. They didn't call the kids out for cheating. They told the teacher it was his fault because he didn't, you know, have an interesting subject. Yeah, and over you hear these stories. I know another guy went to Clemson. He got out of teaching now I can talk about that guy. He's down in outside Clemson area. But he was teaching junior high. He got out of teaching because he had no support from administration. So between your parents and no administration, why would you want to stay there? It's like banging your head against the wall.
I don't know. I'd love to know if your wife has told you anything about this, that there are teachers who are afraid to tell you, and I just discovered this as I've gone, they're afraid to tell you if your child acts up or misbehaves because they're afraid that you will come back at them yelling, screaming, but they're also afraid that you will complain to the administration about them. And so when it comes to telling you your child is you know, doing, even if it's just talking too much in class, they're afraid to. So I tell my teachers in the beginning of the year, I want to know what my child does in your classroom. Do not be afraid to tell me.
Oh, no, that has happened to her. She's called the kids out and you know, the complained about her, and they have even accused her of being a racist. You know, I mean, the first card they play, you know, you're calling my kid out because you're, and she's like, no, I just need your kids to behave. You know, so, yeah, it's she's always having that trouble. She's a special ed teacher, which makes it, you know, so you've got those kids that have issues, but it makes it worse when the parents and the admin align against the teachers.
And they do. They do. And I hate that. I hate that.
And then we wonder why we can't get good teachers. I mean, I wish I had more time to talk because I'll tell you what, it drives me crazy as a taxpayer that we pay for these kids to be educated and they come out stupider and stupider every year. They can't make change. They can't read. They can't function. And they know nothing of our history.
Yeah. And I think that's by design, Bob. And you know, going back to what that teacher said, look, we can't do anything about parents who don't put boundaries down at home. We can't. But you know what we can do as a society? We can put boundaries down at school. We can have rules. We can have consequences. It may be the only place they ever face them, but we refuse to. And children need that so badly. They may, you know, have a tantrum and rebel, but in their hearts, they really want those boundaries. They crave them. They do.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Do you know why those nearly 50,000 UAW union workers are on strike against GM? You know why they are? Do you realize this is the largest strike by any union against any business since 2007? Do you know why they're striking? They can afford to. That's why. No, they can afford to. If it goes south or it ends badly in some way, then go get another job. Couldn't do that. That's the last 12 years. Unless you want to work two part-time jobs with no health insurance cobbled together to make ends meet. But she didn't. There are so many jobs now, they're like, oh, to hell with it. Doesn't work out. I'll get a job somewhere else. I think I'll strike. Yeah, literally the ability to strike, whether you agree with it or disagree with it, is created by economic prosperity. And we got a lot of that. So that's why it is. That's why they're doing it. You're going to strike before, you can't risk losing that job. You're going to be on the post-Obamacare plan where they, you know, where they get rid of the full-time jobs and create a bunch of part-time jobs so they don't have to provide health insurance. Everybody has to work two part-time jobs and has no health insurance. They weren't on for that. Are you kidding me? But now it's the Trump economy, so you can strike. It's awesome. I mean, you know, not saying I agree with it. I'm just saying that's what the deal is. That's why they're doing it. Texter writes on to Common Sense Retirement Planning. Text line, I can't wait to hear the story of how old Joe commanded a flock of bald eagles to knock that shirtless Russian off his horse. I'm sure he did. Oh, another text writes, hey, Tara, Joe Bite Me lost his teeth while riding a racing motorcycle. Popcorn, I think it was corn pop, whatever, switched the brakes. He got thrown over the handlebars and he hit the ground running. Tripped on a redwood tree or something like that. Thanks, so says William. Thank you, William. I'm sure it happened, just like you say. Limerick alert. This is a good one today. Limerick, Sleepy Joe is the man we call Plugs. He is known to give unwanted hugs. Now he's got an eye. Now his eye's full of blood, campaign stuck in the mud, and he can't leave the hole he has dug. Well, actually, corn pop dug it. It was, anyway. Text writes, hey, Tara, we have a generation of children raising children. That's the problem. Now the texter writes, I'm 34. I'm a truck driver. I work 12 to 14 hour days. I don't even have time for myself, much less a kid. My girlfriend works 12 hours a day too. I couldn't imagine having a kid. I don't even have time for my cats. It would be a total burden on me. Well, that's good that you don't have children then. Right? Texter writes, how are these wild, undisciplined kids going to find and keep jobs? They're not. Hope we have a good economy. Sure, they'll be up a creek. Texter writes, when I was young, I had the opportunity to start a career with World Book. Oh, gosh. World Book Encyclopedia. We had those. As a salesperson, one of the things I learned very quickly was that parents were the first and most important teacher. So says Katie. Yeah. Texter writes, it's the lack of God and the rejection of absolute moral values, of absolute values, absolute good and bad, and absolute right and wrong that is the problem. Yeah, it's all that.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Okay, so over the weekend, Bernie proposed a new $2.5 trillion housing plan.
Wonderful.
Yeah, it's $2.5 trillion over the next 10 years. So go ahead and add that to the $3.8 trillion additional he plans to spend every year.
Okay.
Okay, since the federal budget's already, you know, roughly $4 trillion, so he's going to double that. So we're going to throw the $2.5 trillion over the next 10 years. That's a, you know, a pretty cheap plan.
Are we going to build tiny houses for all the homeless?
Well, that's, yes, people deserve a house, Lee.
A tiny
and,
house.
Well, yeah, as much as can be afforded. So,
like 300 or 400 square feet, I guess.
Yeah, something like that. But they deserve to have a house, and you deserve to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what's going to happen. And we have plenty of money to pay for this. I'll tell you where that's all going to come from in a second.
Yeah, I bet you will.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. So then Andrew Yang, did you see this? He is the Freedom Dividends. Freedom. So he wants to give every American family $1,000 a month. So he, to show you how wonderful this would be, his campaign is doing a sweepstakes. And 10 families will win $1,000 a month for 1 year, which he didn't really check with the election statutes because, as we know, laws don't apply to Democrats anyway, so why would he check? But had he checked, he would find that that is actually vote buying.
Yeah, that's illegal.
And you can't do that. But whatever. No one cares. So anyway, I mean, like, if Trump did it, it would be a big deal, for instance.
Of course.
He'd be treated like a mental defective for not having checked the election rules. But it's just Andrew Yang, so he's a genius. Okay. So, this, I mean, you know, we're just throwing costs out there, right? This plan of Mr. Yang's, who, by the way, Mr. Yang also supports Medicare for all, right? So go ahead and 3.8 million, trillion, excuse me, bucks a year. So we'll double the federal budget. But that's not enough. He also wants to do $1,000 a month to every American family. Now, that would only cost $3 trillion a year.
Is that all?
It's just $3 trillion. Okay, so that gives, do you realize, so Andrew Yang is proposing, are you ready for this? That we take the budget from roughly $4 trillion a year, add $4 trillion more for Medicare for all, right? So now we're at $8 trillion, and then another $3 trillion for the give the money away thing. Okay, so that would equal $11 trillion roughly a year, federal budget, even in Common Core math, right? Now, we only have a little over $2 trillion a year coming into the Treasury. So finding the other $9 trillion a year might be a bit tricky. But since no one ever asked Democrats these questions, it won't be a problem.
And then all they'll do is say, we'll see what mean old Republicans are trying to keep you from getting.
They're trying to take my $1,000 a month away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't campaign against Santa Claus. That's what this is.
Yeah, the problem is Santa Claus can't provide this stuff.
Yeah, I know. But
and, I mean, like even if Santa wants to, there's like literally not enough money.
Yeah, you and I know that. But, you know, we're dealing with Democrat primary voters.
Yeah. Speaking of dealing with Democrat primary voters, but did you see where Ilhan Omar, Representative Ilhan Omar, likened ICE to slave traders, you know, and how they torture people cages. Yeah. I mean, you could totally see the parallels.
There's absolutely no logical explanation or correlation between the two, period. There's not.
Except in her head, yes.
Well.
That's the only place in the space and time continuum where it exists. But thus it is valid, right? We have to, because remember, she's brown. I mean, do you remember the rules as laid down by Rashida Tlaib? If somebody is browner than you, then you must defer to them, even if what they're saying makes absolutely no sense. And they've got a steel girder sticking out of their head because it just went through. You have to listen and believe, okay? So these brutal and vicious Border Patrol agents, you want to hear what they were up to this weekend?
Oh, yeah.
Just more brutality. Okay, folks, I'm just going to tell you the story, okay? A twice convicted child sex offender who was an illegal immigrant who was twice deported, which makes this entry another felony. He was on his way back to the United States of America to become a proud Democrat voter when he got lost in the desert. Uh-oh. So what does he do? He calls 911. Who goes out to save him? The Border Patrol. The Border Patrol. They quickly located him and provided him with emergency medical attention. Now, if there's any Democrats in the audience, I know you're worried. He's okay. The two-time child sex offender is okay. He still will be able to recover and vote Democrat. So just don't. I don't want to cause any panic. Okay. Now, not so okay for the kids he'll inevitably sexually abuse. By the way, he likes 13-year-olds. He's been convicted twice in the United States of America for abusing them, and God knows how many times elsewhere. Nobody knows. So anyway. Yes, his name is Adrian Castro Garcia. He is 33, so he's got plenty of years to still keep sex abusing. That's awesome. And they saved him. They saved him because he was lost in the desert and they didn't want him to die. And we're told that the Border Patrol agents are the ones who lack
compassion. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. If the Democrats had their way, there would be no Border Patrol to save Adrian Castro Garcia.
There's a good point because if
there would, because yes, you know, he would be dead, which would be very sad. I mean, you know.
But then, if we didn't have a border, he would have been trying to sneak across anyway. So
right, but then, yeah, see, that's where I was going. But they don't want a border.
Exactly.
So if he could have, you know, he wouldn't have had to go through the desert, as Beto has explained. He could have just, you know, walked over to a safer place. And that would mean if we didn't have a border that Adrian Castro Garcia would have been able to get into the country to sex abuse some more 13-year-olds, which is what they want. That's their policy. And the way they do, you know how they deal with people like Adrian Castro Garcia, these Democrats, they just refuse to admit they exist.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so if your existence is not acknowledged by a Democrat, by God, you do not exist. So I wanted to update you on what these Border Patrol monsters have been up to.
Yeah.
Valuing human life enough. that they actually rescued a two-time sex offender in the desert. Now, personally, I would have left him there, but that's just me.
Exactly.
I don't want to actively hurt anyone, but, you know, no
but
one
hey,
helped.
You got yourself into it.
I know. No one helped the 13-year-old that when he was sex abusing him. I mean, I'm sure he could get out of it, if not, oh well. But anyway, I just want to let you know another highly valuable, for my trolls out there, highly valuable sex-offending illegal immigrant Democrat voter is okay this morning. So you don't have to worry.
Your tax dollars at work.
Right. Just send them to Charlotte. There's plenty of victims there. They'll let him into the schools. They'll let him volunteer. And then they'll let him out when he does it again. And he can vote Democrat as many times as he likes in some parts of Mecklenburg County, including in the same election.
Yeah.
So it'll work out great.
Yeah, there is that.
Okay. Did you see this Bureau of Labor Statistics chart, Lee?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. If you, oh, good. So you didn't hear about this? Let me give you the quiz.
Okay.
Okay. If you had to guess, imports, foreign imports, right? Because you know Trump's tariffs.
Right, right.
Are just a terrible drag on the economy. Okay. Foreign imports, would you guess? They cost the same today as a year ago, they cost less than they did a year ago, or they cost more?
I would say they cost the same to, you know, as they did a year ago.
Less.
Less, okay.
The total cost of foreign imports since the Trump tariffs, down 2%.
Okay.
2% over
sounds
a year
like
ago.
Competition is working.
I know. I somebody forecast that would happen. It'll come to me who it was. God, that sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So what happens when the Chinese don't get to dominate the supply line anymore? And people are like, oh, wow, we won't be crushed by Communist Party cheating. Maybe we'll get in too.
Yeah.
What happens when a lot of suppliers enter a supply chain, prices go down? Why? Because they compete.
Right, exactly.
The absolute opposite of what those talking heads are still saying.
Economics 101.
Yeah. So anyway, this is Bureau of Labor Statistics. I've got the chart up. It is unbelievable. It is the exact opposite of what everybody has told you. And what was that? They told you that the tariffs were increasing the cost of consumer goods, right? We hear this every day. And that cost is being passed along to consumers. Well, that's impossible since the cost of consumer goods is imported consumer goods is down 2%. Over August a year ago.
But that's because we deal in truth over facts, Tara.
Right. Now, here's the crazy thing. The month that Goldman Sachs first forecast that A, that consumer prices were up and B, consumers would be paying more, that was in May. That's Goldman Sachs forecast. In the same month that consumer prices were actually a percentage point lower than they were the year before in cost. That's imports. So they were dead wrong. And have never corrected themselves. Neither have any of the talking heads who are still telling. I mean, daily I see it on Fox News.
There seems to be a thing
moron.
About incorrect news reporting going on that's never corrected.
Yeah, some moron. They still, it's every day of the week.
These days, yeah.
Every day of the week. By the way, the Labor Bureau, the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, has put these stats out every month, just so folks know. That's a department of the CBO. Every single month, April, May, June, July, August, has shown an overall drop in consumer in import prices. This has been going on for almost 6 months. And how long every day, day in and day out and day in and day out, does some moron go on television and say, well, you know, a tariff is a tax, you know, and it's causing consumer goods to go up, you know, and that's being passed along to consumers. Well, you can't have the cost of goods be passed to consumers if goods, the prices for imports are down because there's no increase in costs. So you can't pass it on. Can't pass it on. I guarantee I'm going to turn TV today. I'm going to turn it on. Some moron's going to be sitting there telling me consumer prices are up. They're not.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Do you know where your children's are? Where your children? Do you know where your children are? No, neither does anybody else, apparently. According to new research that looked at what parents text their kids more than anything else, it's it was conducted by one poll on behalf of Life 360. And it examined the actual communication habits of 2,000 parents with children aged 6 to 25. Now, I don't know. So they use actual text messages, not one of those like, hey, what do you text your kids the most? Phone calls. You want to know what was the thing that was most texted to kids? Boy, this says it all, doesn't it? Here's the three-letter text most texted to kids. Where are you? Where are you? Now, the study was of parents of children aged 6 to 25. So, I mean, you know, you might be legit asking your 23-year-old, where are you? And, you know, I mean, I guess technically, legally, you don't have a right to get an answer from them because, you know, you're old enough to be on your own. So maybe that's some of it. But that was the most popular text, where are you? Parents text, are you ready for this? Parents text, where are you, to their kids an average of 989 times a year. Number two, most popular text, when will you be home? Okay, so that says the kid's still living at home. An average 1,018 times, and I love you, an average of 1,186 times a year. That's pretty good. That's like several times a day. So, it's a lot of texting. Makes sense, though. It's two parents, and their mom's texting you, where are you? Dad's texting you, where are you? So, yeah, maybe. I don't know about you, but if I had to text, where are you, to my child, I'd freak. No, I would. I can't stand to not know where they are. I mean, obviously, they're not going anywhere that I don't know because they can't drive. But I just can't even imagine having a child that drove and I didn't know where they were, like, all the time. Like, absolutely every minute of the day, I'm like that. I'm weird. Heck, I can't barely let them. I mean, I don't let them play outside without me sitting in the driveway on a lawn chair. Like, I got to get eyeball to eyeball with them. You know what I mean? I mean, I got to have eyes on them. Or I can't function. But that's just me. Texter writes, like you said, the liberals love illegal child rapists coming into our country, but they will destroy a conservative judge based on an accusation by some, ooh, what a great point, by some sick bunch of liberal women. And I would play genius text of the day for you if the audio worked, but it does not. So consider that the genius text of the day. Wow. Hold on. Let's back up for a minute here. That's a genius level point. We have multiple time rapists, multiple time child sex offenders being let back out on the street in Charlotte, and the left does not care. I mean, these are people that have been convicted of rape, convicted of child sex offense. There is no doubt that this happened. They could be kept behind bars. Well, they were not never hurt another woman or child again. They would be kept behind bars till they're deported by ICE. But Charlotte says no. So does all these, say, other sanctuary cities. No outrage. But let some woman, well, no. Let somebody from the FBI, you know that was an FBI hit on Brett Kavanaugh, right? Yeah, the source is the FBI. Fox News reported that. They kept saying officers. So the FBI planted it. So let the FBI tell an FBI lie to the New York Times, right? Where the alleged victim of Brett Kavanaugh, the Supreme Court justice, tells her friends, I didn't do it, and refuses to talk, or he didn't do it, and refuses to talk to the media. Everyone around her denies it happened. And man, this is a big deal. Multiple time rapist, though, that we know actually did a rape back in a community, who's an illegal immigrant we can remove, and the left will freak. No, protect him. Look at the contrast. What a great point.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.